I'd like to invite you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18, really short verses. Then we're going to concentrate for our time together this morning on verse 18. If you've noticed, though, I would like for our treasuring God's Word together to be all three verses. Again, they're short verses. They're probably somewhat familiar verses for most of us. So, and they're definitely speak to us this time of year. So I think you will enjoy, and we will all greatly benefit from treasuring these verses up together this week. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, if you're able, would you please stand in honor of reading God's Word? I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And if you do not have a Bible, we have some in our resource center just to the right of the lobby. We'd love for you to pick up a copy today as our gift to you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thank you. Giving thanks in all circumstances. What comes to mind when you hear the words give thanks? Our little 2-year-old Alethea just started saying thank you recently, except she hasn't quite gotten down the full pronunciation of it yet. So if you hand her something or do something for her every morning, when I get her out of bed, she wants her milk. And when I hand her milk, she says, "Gee," which means thank you. So if you hand me something or do something for me and I say, "Gee," you just go with it. Just go with it. So we're only a few days away from the most festive day of the year. Most festive is Christmas. The most festive, of course, is Thanksgiving. What do you think of when you hear give thanks, Thanksgiving? Maybe you think of a tradition in your family. Maybe you think of football, family get-togethers, the history, the origin of this holiday, time off. There are many answers that could be given when we hear these phrases, hear these words, being thankful, giving thanks, thanksgiving. But we all know the most important thoughts that come to mind when we talk about these words are our thoughts about God. Our thoughts about God, our gratitude to Him for His greatness, for His great work in our lives, for His constant work in our lives, and His goodness being revealed to us each and every day, moment by moment. And thinking about that as we approach Thanksgiving is what kind of directed me to this particular text. And here we find one of Paul's great triads of the Christian life: joy and prayer and thanksgiving. And he concludes this triad by declaring that the presence of these responses to God, and that's what they are, all three. They are indeed the summary, a summation of God's will for us in Christ, what God's designed for us as the people who exist in Christ. So he could not have underscored or highlighted the importance of these three responses to God any more than to say that this is the will of God. There's no way to say that something is more significant than saying that it is the will of God. And each of these responses are worthy of our attention, worthy of an entire sermon, an entire study, and even taking the three together would be a great, wonderful, profitable time of study or profitable time of sermon. We see how these connections, we see how these readily connect with one another. The key to unwavering joy is unceasing prayer. The key to unceasing prayer is unending thanksgiving. The three go hand in hand, not only theologically, but practically. As we become thankful, we become prayerful. As we practice thanksgiving, we pray more. As we pray more, we become more joyful, or we understand the joy of the Christian life while we are in a spirit of unceasing prayer. So that's why I want us to meditate on all three of these verses this week. But for our purposes today, let's hone in on verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. So my prayer is that not only this holiday will be enriched, but our lives will be enriched. Our spirits will be enriched as we come to appreciate more and understand more and practice more and become a greater thankful people. That thanksgiving permeates our thoughts and our hearts and our prayers, our interactions with one another. The spirit that permeates our lives would be a spirit of thanksgiving rather than a spirit of criticism or a spirit of doubt or worry or whatever the case may be. So I thought about how to really concentrate on this one command, this one challenge from Paul: give thanks in all circumstances. First, let's talk about giving. The condition of giving, because you can give and not really give. You can give of something and not really have a spirit of giving or a true, authentic motivation for giving behind it. And you've accomplished the act, you've given, but you've not really given. Have you? Or have we? Because giving is an act of the will. So let's talk about the condition of giving. It's an act of the will of the heart. Especially in the spiritual sense. Without a sincere motivation, without a sincere purpose and understanding behind giving, it becomes just kind of rote action, right? I mean, and this applies to everything, but an easy illustration would be your regular giving of your money for the purposes of the ministries of the church and the gospel worldwide, right? When we give, when the offering baskets are passed through, we can just give out of just kind of routine or supposed to or habit, or give out of a spirit of delighting in participating in the gospel and the ministries of the church and the kingdom of God and gratitude to the Lord. Giving is the opposite, of course, of taking and receiving. It's a selfless act, not a selfish act. It's releasing instead of withholding. And so a spirit of self-centeredness will oppose a spirit of giving, a heart of giving. It'll choke the life out of a willing, cheerful, giving heart. In fact, the only type of giving that the self-ruled heart does delight to practice is the kind of giving that is a giving in order to get something in return, right? So in terms of giving thanks, we must constantly be on guard against a spirit of pride, a kind of a rights-based entitlement mindset of all that we deserve, that all that we receive and all that we think we should receive are things in which we deserve, that we have a right to, that we merit, that we should have. We should have the things that we have, and we should have more. It is ours. It should be ours. It's right for it to be ours. And so a spirit of entitlement destroys a spirit of thanksgiving for what we have been given. A condition then of giving, especially thanksgiving, is a humble gratitude. Humble gratitude. Humility understands that we do not deserve the things that we have, that they have been given. And gratitude seeks to express. A condition of giving is humble gratitude, as reverse or opposite of or contrary to, in contrast to, a spirit of prideful entitlement that says, I'm supposed to get this. You're supposed to give me this. I'm supposed to have this and this and this and this. Humble gratitude says, wow, I didn't deserve that. Thank you. Thank you. A verse that came to mind as I was thinking through this condition of giving, especially giving thanks, is 1 Corinthians 4:7. It's a great verse, powerful verse in terms of helping us to meditate on thanksgiving and become a thankful people. 1 Corinthians 4:7. I see some of you writing that down, and that's great. Write that one down and let's treasure this one also. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? It's a powerful, soul-searching, illuminating question. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, he goes on to say, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So he's getting at that pride and that boasting and that air of thinking we deserve things. All indicative of a heart that's kind of bent in on itself instead of inclined to God and seeing the world and self and God from God's perspective. Instead of, as we are many times inclined to see the world revolving around us, rather to see ourselves as great recipients, beneficiaries of wonderful, gracious gifts. When we live as if the world owes us, or if the people around us owe us, or if God owes us, we live in frustrated misery because our pride and our ego, they have a ferocious appetite. They refuse to be filled. It matters not how much you do get. You will always deserve more. But if we live with humble gratitude, recognizing that everything we have and possess and have been promised and yet to receive but will receive in Christ Jesus are all gifts. If we live with humble gratitude, realizing that everything we possess, physical or spiritual, has been given, we live in joyful gratitude forever because God never ceases to give. Pride never ceases to be filled, but God never ceases to give. It's how we understand the things that we have, whether we will live in frustrated misery or in joyful gratitude. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift, every single one is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So let us sever the root of pride in our hearts by pursuing humility. Let us sever the root of boasting in our lives by pursuing gratitude. Let us do away with thinking about the things that we deserve and yet responding to God with thanksgiving, giving thanks in all circumstances. Let us respond to all the blessings and gifts and graces of God in our lives by giving thanks for all that God has done for us, is doing for us, will do for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. That we might be a thankful people, that our hearts might be conditioned and shaped to think rightly about ourselves and rightly about God and rightly about grace and what we do have and what we should have. And yet what we've been given. The truth is, from God's perspective, we haven't. It's a good thing that we haven't been given what we deserve, right? We've really got to do away with that attitude that there's something else that we deserve. There is something else that we deserve. Thank God we don't have it. There's a condition of our hearts. There's a perspective of the way that we look at our lives and look at all that we have and all that we don't have and the way that we look at God. There's a condition of giving. So it's a heart exercise. It's a work of God in our hearts to prepare us to be a thankful people. A thankful people. The condition of giving. Second, the presuppositions of giving thanks. Not just of giving, but of particularly giving thanks. It presupposes, first of all, that someone has given us something. If we are thanking someone for something. I know that's very elementary, but we do need to understand that Paul is exhorting us here to give thanks to God. Paul is directing our hearts to God. Paul is conditioning us to look to God as the source of all things in our lives. If you do not have a giver, you do not have a receiver. And the greatest of all givers is God. He is the great giver because He gives the greatest things. The greatest gifts. God is the giver of life. God is the giver of salvation, eternal salvation. God is the giver of divine mercy. The giver of divine grace. The giver of forgiveness. He gives peace and reconciliation for sinners. Justification in response to faith. He gives His Word. He gives His Spirit. He has given His Son. He is the greatest giver. Not only because He gives the greatest gifts, but because He gives them abundantly and constantly and eternally. In fact, all of our giving is a reflection of it. It's a pointing to His giving. It has been said that we are never more like God than when we give. For God so loved the world that He gave. Giving thanks. So to give thanks presupposes that there is a giver, a great giver. He's so great that He is worthy of our thanksgiving. And He's given such great things that He is worthy of our thanksgiving. It's right to give Him thanks in all circumstances. Not just some days, but all days. Not just in some circumstances, but in all circumstances. That's how great He and His gifts are. But then that brings up this second really simple point, is not only presupposes a giver, but it presupposes that we have indeed been given some things. Not that there just exists a giver who does lavishly give, but that we individually, we corporately, we have been given some things. Not just that God is generous, but that God has been generous to us. Therefore, we give thanks in all circumstances because we have been, these gifts have been bestowed upon us, lavished upon us, granted to us. And what are these gifts? Well, you name it, it's been given. It's everything. It is everything. Again, 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? Just ponder that for a second or two now. What do you have that you did not receive? The fact that we came into this world is a gift in and of itself. But we came into this world with nothing, it said. What do you have that you did not receive? But to say that we came into this world is not quite true, is it? We did come into this world with something. We came with our sin. We brought something with us. So if we have forgiveness, if we have salvation, if we have a Savior, if we have been ransomed, if we have been pardoned, if we have been reconciled to God, adopted into His family, if we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, whatever we have in terms of eternal graces, even beyond the physical and material, it has all been given. Give thanks in all circumstance. Every blessing we possess and enjoy, material, physical, relational, spiritual, they have all been given to us. But as Jason mentioned, leading us in song worship this morning, more than that has been given, right? Even more than the things that we call blessings. What about those struggles and pains and trials? Do we just stumble into those? Are they just merely accidental or coincidental? Or just natural consequences? Are we just kind of rolling along and God is not involved in all of the affairs and events that are happening in our lives? Or do we know that either God directly brings or divinely allows the events that transpire around us and with us, including the trials, and in His good providence, that He has a good purpose for them? That He has an eternal mindset and perspective on the present temporary fleeting circumstances in our lives. Listen to Paul again in 2 Corinthians 12. This idea of everything has been given, even though it's not desirable for us, yet is there a divine purpose? 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited," there's the divine purpose, the good purpose. "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, I have been, God has allowed me to know some wonderful, incredible, awesome things that other people do not know. And that tends to puff up our heads and hearts. So, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given. A thorn was given me in the flesh. Now listen to what he calls that thorn. A messenger of Satan to harass me. That is a biblical way to look at it. Certain trials. Paul says, this thorn is nothing more than a messenger from Satan, but God has brought it about for a higher purpose. That gets at a little bit of what I think Paul means when he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Because he doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. To keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So our thanksgiving is to be directed to God for everything that He has generously, graciously, divinely given, sovereignly given, providentially given in our lives. And that kind of brings us to this phrase here, in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. So let's talk about some implications and lessons of giving thanks. Implications and lessons of giving thanks in all circumstances. And that phrase, in all circumstances, is very intriguing. The more I meditate on it, I believe there's so much good here that there's more to be discovered. And as we search our hearts and souls, that God will enrich our lives and reveal to us. So I just want to kind of share with you some thoughts that's been ruminating in my mind as I've been thinking about giving thanks in all circumstances. And then hopefully we all leave from here and we continue to meditate on these things and roll these things over in our hearts and in our prayers, and allow God to massage this in our lives and in our hearts. When Paul says, so here are a couple of observations. When Paul says in all circumstances, it seems to me that he means for us to recognize the need to give thanks while we are enduring, or while we are in a season of what is perceived to be bad or negative or not good or not desirable or a thorn in the flesh or whatever it may be. Hurtful, harmful. He means for us to learn to not only to give thanks in the triumph, but also in the trial. To not only give thanks on the mountain, but also to be a thankful people even in the valley. To not only be a people who are thankful in the delightful, but a people who are giving thanks in the depressing, in the discouraging. To be a thankful people, not only at the cries of the crib, but also at the cries at the graveside. To be a thankful people when the diagnosis is healthy to be a thankful people when the diagnosis is not healthy. Again, he doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but give thanks in all circumstances. And Paul is a master of the preposition. He works the preposition like no one else. He can make a paragraph out of a sentence like no one else with the use of preposition, but his prepositions often carry much theological weight and lesson. And he doesn't select these by chance. In all circumstances, in everything, your translation may say. So giving thanks in the trial is not necessarily the same as giving thanks for the trial. Now, there's often times, many times, when God has sustained us and brought us through a trial in our lives, that we can look back upon that trial and we can see God's hand. We can see how God sustained us. We can see the things that God has taught us. We can see how God has shaped us. And we can, on the other side of a trial, look back to the trial with a divine perspective, and we can be thankful for that trial because we're able to see some good and understand what God was doing while we were in it. But it's another story to be thankful for the trial while you are in the trial. And that's not necessarily what Paul is saying here. To give thanks in all circumstances, he's not necessarily saying we are to be thankful for every circumstance while we are in every circumstance. Hard to be thankful for the knife when it's actually in your back. When it gets out of your back, you reflect a little bit, you pray, oh, okay, I see something good was brought out of that. Thank you for that. But while we are in the trial, it is not as though our present temporary circumstances remove from us every reason for which we can be thankful and are to be thankful, no matter what the circumstance may be. In fact, there is much, much for which we can be thankful that will strengthen us and that will help us and enable us to persevere through this present trial by dwelling on and praying about and rejoicing in the things for which we can be thankful regardless of this present trial. And that kind of brings me to six lessons here that I want to leave us with. Six lessons of giving thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks in all circumstances, this is one lesson or implication. Giving thanks in all circumstances defeats and crushes the slithering sins that wind their way into our hearts when we are in trials or difficulties or struggles or undesirable seasons of life. However you want to put it, however you want to describe it, there are sins that are always constantly looking for a way into our lives, and trials and hardships and heartaches and hard times and hard living opens a way, makes it easier for these sins to slither in. Sins like complaining and grumbling. Sins like worrying and doubting. Sins like making assumptions, attributing things to God that are not true of God, becoming selfish, becoming self-centered, not thinking of others, not being a giving people, That's one lesson. So this is the second lesson. We can only give thanks in all circumstances by the grace of God. So let us pray for God to give us the grace to be thankful people no matter where we are in life. That no matter how difficult or stressful or frustrating or hurtful this trial is or this heartache is in my life, that I am by the Spirit of God reminded of the things for which I can be thankful. It's kind of hard to be thankful for this while I'm in the middle of this, but there are things for which that are above this, beyond this, that I can be thankful. So God, give us the grace to remember the things for which we can be thankful, that we might be a thankful people and not give way to these sins that slither in and make us bitter and angry and withdrawn. And cold. Instead of open and warm and humble and grateful and seeking and persevering and praying. Third lesson. Circumstances can really wreak havoc on our thanksgiving. Can really wreak havoc on anything in terms of our spiritual lives. It is amazing how much weight we give to present, temporary, fleeting circumstances. But when on this day you are right in the middle of it, it's really difficult to see beyond it, isn't it? It's really difficult to see past where you are and what you're surrounded in and what you're in the middle of. So circumstantial occurrences in our lives, things that come and go, things that constantly change, often feel and look and are perceived by us to be gargantuan. And at that moment in time, and the impact of them in our lives, they are. So they often wreak havoc on our faith, on our spiritual lives, on our spiritual growth. On our thanksgiving, when we are in a season of goodness and happiness and wonderful circumstances, we often neglect thanksgiving. For some reason, our praise report lists are not as long as our prayer list. As if prayers are not being answered for which we can be thankful for. Because when good things are happening, we just often neglect to be thankful for the blessings that we are constantly living in. When bad circumstances often arise in our lives, it often causes us to forget. In good times, we often neglect. Bad times, we often to forget because we're so involved in this circumstance and this heartache and hardship. So we often forget all that we have and possess and are promised by God for which to be thankful. Circumstances. Number four. We can only give thanks in all circumstances, not only by grace, but also when Christ is our ultimate treasure. One of the reasons why circumstances often wreak havoc on our faith is because circumstances often, divinely appointed circumstances, often rip from us things for which maybe we place too much priority on, maybe have too much of a prominent role in our hearts. And when Christ is our treasure, it allows us to be a thankful people in all circumstances. When Christ is our treasure, our ultimate treasure of our hearts, of our lives, of our focus. That in which we prize, that in which sustains us. It cuts circumstances down to size. When Christ is magnified in our lives, circumstances are put back in their proper perspective. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul said, circumstances change, Christ doesn't. Circumstances can be good or bad, Christ is always good. When circumstances rule the heart, we sway in the wind. When Christ rules in our hearts, rests in our hearts, is treasured in our hearts, thanksgiving can be present no matter what the circumstances may be. When Christ is our treasure, and that is portrayed by giving thanks even in the worst of circumstances, that's one of the greatest ways that a heart will reflect, Christ is my greatest treasure. When thanksgiving is present, even in the hardship. If thanksgiving is present in the hardship, you don't have to tell people Christ is your treasure. That is portrayed in our lives. Christ is our treasure. He is so greatly magnified that sinners are compelled to see that He is glorious. He is worthy. There's something about Christ that brings stability in their lives no matter what they're going through. And I know it hurts and I know it's excruciating and I don't see how they can walk through what they're walking through with the foundation that they have, but they keep saying something about Christ. It is a great compelling of sinners to see Christ as the true treasure of life. So let's pray to treasure up Christ in our hearts. Number 5, the way to be thankful in all circumstances is to be thankful for those things God is doing that are above our circumstances. The way to be thankful in all circumstances is to be thankful for what God is doing in our lives that is above all circumstances. And you don't have to read too far in the Scripture to keep coming up on that. I mean, the Scripture is jam-packed with all of the good things God is doing for us in Christ Jesus forevermore. I mean, we're in verses 16 through 18, right? Just drop down to verse 23. Just look at verse 23. Now think about, no matter your circumstances, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to make sure that we understand, this is not just something Paul is praying for that he really hopes will happen. Listen to verse 24. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. So the God of peace Himself will sanctify you completely. And your whole spirit and soul and body will be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that has nothing to do with your circumstances, has everything to do with the fact that He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. That's some great reasons to give thanks in all circumstances. Things that God is doing for us in Christ that are always above our present, temporary, fleeting circumstances. The way to be thankful in all circumstances is to be thankful for those things God is doing that are above our circumstances. And the certainty of them. Number 6. I think that the next phrase in verse 18 is a powerful aid in helping us give thanks in all circumstances. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's not the will of God out of Christ Jesus, but it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, and you who have embraced Christ as Lord and Savior, that's where you are. You are in Christ. So this is God's will for you who are in Christ. And there it is, my friends. There it is. The position of who we are in Christ that outweighs, outlives, outmagnifies every circumstance for which we may find ourselves in this life. For wherever we are in today, whatever we are in today, we are in Christ. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, neither height nor depth, nor death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor anything else in all creation. Nothing. Romans 8:38-39. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Circumstances may crash upon us and beat upon us and nag at us and tear at us, but they will never remove us. They will never remove us, never remove us from our position in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are justified before God. We are declared right before God. We are in right standing before God, and that will never change. Wherever you are in life today, good or bad, hardship or happiness, that's going to change. That's going to change. But your justification, if by faith you have embraced Christ Jesus as your Savior, your justification will never change. If you are in Christ, we are reconciled to God. That will never change. So for what do we give thanks while in all circumstances? Well, no matter what we face in this life, we give thanks for all that God is for us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So hear me well, this Thanksgiving Day and every day of our lives, we are not just in a circumstance. We are in Christ. We are not defined by our present circumstance. We are defined by our position in Christ. And that, my friend, that is reason enough to give thanks in all circumstances. Let's pray. Father, you have been so good in so many ways. You are faithful in so many ways. You are generous in so many ways. And to us, your generosity has been the greatest in giving your Son Your grace has been the greatest to us in the giving of Your Son. Your faithfulness has been the greatest to us in the faithfulness of the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I pray that as we enter into this holiday season and as we finish the race that's set before us, as we run the race of our lives for Your glory, that You would constantly, by Your Spirit and grace, remind us that no matter where we are in life, we have so much for which to be thankful that is so far beyond and above our circumstances. Help us, Father, to look past the things that are temporary to the things that are permanent in Christ Jesus because of You. So may we be a people, a thankful people, growing, our lives being enriched by thanksgiving, that we might be a prayerful people, a joyful people, because no matter where we are, Father, You are our God and we are in Christ because of You. Help us believe and treasure Christ even more today. And if someone be present with us who is apart from Christ, may they be compelled today, compelled to His greatness. We ask in His name. Amen.